Chapter 21 is dedicated to Dvairla. Happy birthday. Final instructions. Within a few days, Reb Nachum had formed a plan of action. The prince and his aunt would move to the city of Prague, where the Jewish community was large, developed, and vibrant. Reb Nachum thought that in a large city, it would be easy for strangers to move in almost unnoticed without arousing curiosity. The prince and his elderly aunt would be able to adopt a Torah lifestyle and blend into the crowd. Drawing up a plan was not enough for Reb Nachum. In a decision that showed his good-hearted and selfless nature, he chose to accompany the nobles on their journey back to their Jewish roots. He realized that their difficult and dangerous return to Yiddishkeit could be successful only if he remained at their side, for the time being at least. Reb Nachum told the leaders of the Sebej community that he would need to leave the town for an extended period in order to take care of his many business matters. Over the course of the next few weeks, he gradually transferred his responsibilities as the head of the Jewish community to others. Prince Johann saw all that Reb Nachum was doing for him, and he could not find enough words to express his gratitude. "You are going far beyond the call of duty," he exclaimed. "You are an amazingly kind person. I will never forget your kindness for the rest of my life. One day, I hope and trust that I will be able to repay your great kindness to my aunt and myself." "All Jews have the responsibility to take care for each other, Yehuda," replied Reb Nachum simply. He made an effort to call the prince by his Jewish name. "Our sages taught that all Jews are responsible for each other. They compare the Jewish nation to a ship at sail in the high sea. If a hull forms, even at a far end of the ship, the entire ship is in danger of sinking. When one Jew is in trouble, we must all rush to his assistance." The prince gazed at Reb Nachum in wonder. "How lucky is the Jewish nation that it produces such fine people," he exclaimed. He then added, eyes gleaming with joy, "And how lucky am I that I merited being a member of this great nation." He nodded his head lightly as if he had just remembered something. "There is another minor matter that we have forgotten about. The business deal with Count Zinkovich. You can tell the Count that the deal is done. I will give you a down payment for his estates immediately. Once we sign the necessary documents, I will send the Count the rest of his money. You will certainly receive handsome payment for arranging such a deal." Indeed, Count Zinkovich was delighted with the sale, and he rewarded Reb Nachum generously. In addition to monetary payment, the Count also presented Reb Nachum with a small estate close to Sebej that included a stall with horses and an enormous cowshed with 40 calves. Reb Nachum remained in Prague for close to 2 years. He spent his time guiding and assisting the prince and his aunt. Prince Johann Kambari, now known simply as Yehuda, delved into the study of Torah, and with time he grew quite knowledgeable. He also chose to use the last name of his mother's family, Gavrieli. After 2 years, Reb Nachum moved back to Sebej. Reb Nachum had always been generous and charitable. Ever since he returned from Prague, however, he began distributing incredibly large sums to tzedakah. Much of this money was used to support the growing number of yeshivas that had opened their doors in Poland at that time. Nobody knew, nor could they even imagine, that most of the funds distributed by Reb Nachum came directly from the purse of a mighty Swedish prince who had returned to his people, the Jewish people, in total silence and secrecy, and had lovingly embraced the service of Hashem. Not long after Reb Nachum left Prague, Yehuda Gavrieli married a woman from a local family. A year later, they gave birth to a son. Following that, the Gavrieli family decided to move to Holland. Naturally, Yehuda first consulted his dear and trustworthy friend Reb Nachum. Since Yehuda was a wealthy man, he bought himself an ancient and magnificent mansion in one of the suburbs of Amsterdam, the capital city of Holland. He paid for 10 Talmidei Chachamim to live in his mansion. They studied Torah by day and by night while he supported their families, devotedly providing their every need. From time to time, Reb Nachum would travel to Holland in order to give Yehuda the income raised from his two large estates that bordered each other, one in Poland and the other in Sweden. At the same time, Reb Nachum was able to keep himself informed about Yehuda's welfare and progress. Reb Nachum had a son named Tevel, who was very different from his father. Tevel was not at all interested in business and lacked the knowledge to make wise business decisions. Instead, he enjoyed working the earth, growing various kinds of produce in the fields and orchards that he received as a dowry for his wedding. He preferred his quiet and peaceful work to having to deal with the complications of business. Years passed, and eventually Reb Nachum invited his son to an important discussion. By then, Reb Nachum was an elderly man. He had grown weak, and he felt that his end was approaching. "Tevel, my dear son," began Reb Nachum in a somewhat hoarse voice, "I would like to share a confidential secret." He told his son about the former prince who had returned to Judaism and who now lived in Holland. He told Tevel about Yehuda Gavrieli's marriage, about the Talmidei Chachamim that he supported at his own expense, and about the large amounts of tzedakah that he distributed through Reb Nachum. "In another few days, or perhaps weeks, I will no longer be here," said Reb Nachum in a resigned tone. "I ask you to travel to Holland after sitting Shiva. Please, inform Yehuda that I am no longer alive. I would also like to tell you, to tell him, in my name, that the responsibility of distributing the tzedakah funds to the yeshivas has now passed from me to you, Tevel. One more thing. I am very concerned that he will offer you money or favors as a way of repaying me for assisting him years ago. I command you, with the weight of the tzava that a dying father leaves for his son, not to accept even one penny for yourself from Yehuda. I want the merit that I earned by helping two Jews return to Hashem to remain pure and clean, free from any personal interest or benefit. That merit will serve me well when I stand in judgment before the Beis Din Shalmaila." Not long after this conversation, Reb Nachum returned his soul to his Creator and entered a world that is only good. His son Tevel was devastated by his beloved father's passing. At the end of the Shiva, he set off for Holland to fulfill his father's final request.